just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can just come together and to worship you and give you praise. Father, we just ask that you would just pour out your spirit in this place today, challenge us today to just yield ourselves to you and to give ourselves over to you. We thank you for this time. We ask that your anointing be upon everyone to hear your word today, that we'd be challenged by your word to be changed and transformed. Father, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. So last week we talked about submission and the act of rebellion, not submitting to the authorities that God places in our lives. We talked about breaking free and just allowing ourselves to submit to the things of God, civil authorities, all those things. We're required to do two things. That's pray and just submit, follow after. Now there's circumstances when we're asked to do things that are against the Bible, where those things we don't follow blindly those authorities that are placed in front of us. We are to speak the authority and the power of God in order to change and transform those things. But submission is really an act of faith. Submission is the act of believing that God has placed certain people and things in authority over us for our own good, and that being submissive to them is a good thing, and that we commit our lives to being submitted to the authorities that God's placed in front of us, and that we pray for them, and that we submit to them, and that we follow after them. And that includes many areas that we talked about last week. I was going to talk about pride last week, and then I ran out of time, so some of you were really happy about that. You were able to hang on to that pride for just one more week. But this week we're going to talk about pride in the area of pride in our lives. And I'm going to start with something I talked about a couple of weeks ago, or at the first of this last month at our men's meeting. I read this area of scripture and we talked about it. It really stirred me to thinking, even last week as I spoke last week, we talked about being submissive or submitting to certain things in our lives. And one of the things that I said last week was, it's really easy to be submissive to someone or something when we're in agreement with them. Soon as we become in disagreement with them, with whatever's going on, and if it's not a non-biblical thing, it's just a challenge in the way they're doing something, and it's not necessarily an area of sin, but we're challenged by their leadership and how they're leading, we discover very quickly whether we really are submitted. Because oftentimes we just say, forget it, I'll follow you as long as I agree with you. But to follow someone as long as we agree with them is not submission. Submission is when you're in disagreement that you find an area or a way in which to submit to their authority because you recognize their authority in your life and that they are to be in that place in order for your benefit, and that you're trusting God to do a work not only in your life but in their life. Because the Bible clearly last week, as we saw, the heart of the leader, the heart of the person in authority is in the hand of God. And if he is in the hand of God, if they're in the hand of God, God is going to do something. But he's not going to necessarily do it through you in rebellion. He'll do it through you in submission. And so I know that's a difficult task, but let me start in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, where it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is laying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. The ultimate value in knowing yourself lies in knowing your limits, knowing where your limitations lie. I remember, I think it was Dirty Harry, said a man's got to know his limitations, and then he blew the guy up. In response to our limitations, though, we can come to Jesus. We can turn our hearts and our lives towards Jesus and the ultimate sufficient Lord who is able to meet all those needs. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, we quote that all the time, just don't we? It's like every time we come up against something, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in our human frailty, we often try to do things in our own human frailty and come up way short and fail because of our own pride that says that we can do something. We just read this story of the Roman centurion who believed that Jesus could heal his servant with only a word. The centurion was a Gentile. He was a Roman official. He was an enemy to the Jews and someone who would be considered an unbeliever. He's not a follower of God. He's not a follower of Jehovah. Yet Jesus said that he had the greatest faith, greater than any in Israel. Can you imagine how that must have sounded to all of his disciples who had been following him for several years now? And excuse me? And I can just see Peter's face. You know, old great man of faith that he was. Satan, get behind me. Peter must have turned around and said, what did you just say? That guy's got greater faith than us? Than those of us that have sacrificed everything and followed you? He's got greater faith? How could that possibly be that this centurion would have greater faith? Well, one, he believed. He believed in Jesus. He recognized who Jesus was and who the power of Jesus was. The centurion knew his power as well as his limitations. He knew himself. He recognized who he was. Now, listen, how many of you saw the movie The Gladiator? With Russell Crowe. Yeah, you saw that movie? Good. Yeah. I think it was rated appropriately for you to see. Just checking. But in that movie, Russell Crowe... See, this guy reminds me of Russell Crowe. Okay? And not the son of the emperor. The sniveling little whiny guy that no one would follow. This centurion reminds me of a powerful... In the text, I see him as a powerful and great leader that would do anything for his servants and his men. And then his men, in turn, would do the same for him. He was one of those leaders that all would follow because he was fair and he was righteous and he did the right thing, even though he was not a believer according to what we would believe a believer would need to be. But he was a man of integrity, and you could see that in this centurion. And one of the things that he recognized was his inability to do certain things. And sometimes I think this is what devastates leaders is not knowing their inabilities. It hurts us when it's an area of pride when we don't recognize the areas of our lives where we're not strong in them. See, he trusted in the Most High God for the sufficiency, for the healing for his own person. He was a powerful Roman coming to make a petition at the feet of a Jewish carpenter. It cost him his pride. He humbled himself. He had to recognize his own limitations and put his faith in another's ability to do what he could not do. See, pride will stop us. Jesus called this great faith. Faith is recognizing the one who has the authority. Pride will destroy our ability to recognize authority. Pride will destroy our ability to recognize authority. So here's this great big monster of a man who has, who knows how many people that he can just direct into wiping out civilizations. This guy is a great and powerful leader, and yet he recognizes this skinny runt of a man who's kind of ugly in appearance. And you wouldn't remember him from one day to the next, the Bible says. There was nothing about Jesus in his outward appearance that would draw you to him very quickly. Nothing. Yet, this centurion Roman soldier recognized that he had an ability and an authority in an area that he did not. And he humbled himself, took down his pride from all the things that he was able to accomplish. He didn't come to him and say, "Great am I. Let me tell you all the things that I have done. And then you can say, oh, well, let me help you out." He came to him and humbled him and only said, "You know what? I'm not worthy of you coming even under my own household, coming into my house. But I know this, that you have an authority in an area that I do not. And I ask you right now to just speak a word into that area. And I know, because I too am a man under authority. I understand what it means to take orders and to give orders." And recognizing that, and pride will keep you from recognizing. Listen, sometimes it's the scrawniest little old lady sitting in the back corner who's got the most power in heaven over the guy that gets up here and flabbergasts all he wants and pontificates all the wonderful things from the pulpit, and it's the little old lady in the back row that's got the anointing. Appearances are not what brings the anointing of God. It's the humility, giving yourself over to the one who has authority. And when we have pride, when we begin to believe in ourselves, and we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, God is restricted in the ability to work in our lives. But when we humble ourselves under God's hand, and we begin to let God work in our lives, and know our limitations in what we can do and what we can say. It's interesting. I have had some success in my ministry that God has used me in areas of healing from time to time. And so I pray for the sick, and it was interesting. My brother, before he became a Christian and understood the things of the Lord, he called up my cousin and said, "Hey, I think you need to talk to my brother, because he thinks he can heal people." And my cousin said to him, "No, what you don't understand is that God is working through him, and God is healing through him, and he understands the authority of Christ to heal the sick, and God is using him through that, and he's humbled himself to allow God to use him in that area." And he goes, "Oh, I didn't know that that's what that meant." And he goes, "Yeah." And all of us, every one of us, are called to the ministry of God, to praying for the sick, to praying for those in need, to opening the blind eyes and causing ears to hear. And the scripture in Isaiah where Jesus read, "These are the things that I've come to do, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted." All those things are a commission to our own lives to go out and begin to operate. And we operate on those things because we've allowed ourselves to understand that we are not the ones with the authority and the power to do those things. But we've gone to the one that is, and he's working through us. and beginning to do things in our lives. Pride is a killer. Pride says, I can do it alone. I can get myself out of this mess without God's help. And oh no, you can't. We absolutely need God. And we desperately need each other. Know yourself is still great advice. You know, it's important that we work hard, but we always are open to help. Always recognizing and looking, always open to recognizing others' influence or others' authority to influence a situation. Let me read that again. Always be open to recognizing others' authority to influence a situation. You know, I'm going to pick on our missionaries because they're here. But I think being a missionary has a very difficult task to it. Because every Sunday, they have to swallow their pride. And they have to go to a church. And they have to ask for room to make an offering towards people that they would support their ministry. And they have to walk into a situation, they have to submit themselves under the authority of the pastor that's there. And they might not even know him. But they have to recognize and say, hey, pastor, I was just wondering. And then you have to leave opportunity for that person to make influence. Because listen, to be honest with you, you might love these guys, but if I don't give the okay, most of you probably wouldn't even talk to them. And that's okay. And they know that. Because I'm in a position to say, hey guys, talk to these guys. Talk about being submitted to their ministry and helping them in their area of ministry. Just like we did last week with the Gideons. Help these guys in their area of ministry. And if you feel a tug on your heart to do something like that, help these guys in their area of ministry. But if we don't, and here's the heart, you can't go in and think, I'm all this, look what I am in those situations. You have to go in those situations and say, I recognize your authority, and I humble myself under your authority and ask that you would have influence in this situation, because we're not going to have a great deal of influence in this situation. You will. And I think that in our own lives, when we go to work, we're put under the authority of those that are working ahead of us, and we don't understand sometimes that our boss has an ability to influence a situation, and we've done everything in our power to make that boss not like us. We have a hard time sometimes when we see a police officer and we don't automatically recognize their authority to have influence in this situation. You know, when you get pulled over for a ticket, you have a choice. You can recognize his authority to influence a situation, or you can be rude. And then you'll recognize his ability to have authority to influence a situation even greater. It's interesting because, you know, when you think about police officers, you know, they're there for the lawless. And I talked a little bit about this last week. You know, I don't care who you are, you're always a little bit nervous around them. You know, when I went to Russia, it was amazing. In Russia, they don't even talk to them at all. They're fearful. And in fact, when we were there, we wanted to go talk to them. We're like, hey, we want to go talk to those, you know, those police officers over there. And they're like, no, I'm not going. We need an interpreter. I'm not going. What do you mean you're not going? I'm not going. They don't want to go anywhere near them because they're so fearful of them. We finally drug one interpreter over there, and we had a great time talking to these guys, because the guy that I was with, and some of you know Tom Galovich from over there at Trinity, he and I were together, and Tom, you know, was a chaplain to the police department for years and years and years, and so he's very heavily involved in all that stuff. So he had his little pins and stuff from the highway patrol and wanted to trade with them and stuff, and it was a great time. But the interpreter was fearful of even being around them at all because of the past history and stuff. But, you know, we don't have to be fearful of people in authority if we're not the lawless. They are there to influence a situation for our own benefit. And sometimes I know it's hard to recognize people's authority in certain situations to have influence. But you need to be willing to humble yourself and not be prideful in an area and go into a situation and say, you're the one with influence, not me. You know, you're the one that has the influence to transform a situation. Don't go in and upset the people that have. Go into situations, humble yourself, and allow God to work through you into a situation. Amen? Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we are the circumcised who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the children of God. We are the family of God that worship Him, that lift up Christ, and have no confidence in our own flesh and ability to do the things of God. There is nothing in me that gives me the ability to do what I do every Sunday, every Wednesday, every opportunity that I have to share Christ. It's not me. I know I don't have the ability to do this stuff. I humble myself every week and say, okay, God, what do you want to say? How do you want to handle this situation? Because you're the one in authority. You're my boss. Now, what do I say? What do I say that will influence your people to serve you in a greater way? Humility is confidence properly placed. Humility is confidence properly placed. It is not being a coward. We go back to the centurion in the beginning. He was not a coward. He did not cowardly come to Christ. He came to Christ in his authority and humbled his own authority. He could have just arrested Jesus and drug him to the house and said, do your thing. But he didn't. He humbled himself under the authority given to Christ and said, I humble myself unto you. Just say a word, speak the word, and I know it's done. I don't come to hassle you. I don't come to press my authority, which I have. I don't come to press my authority or my agenda. I come to hear you speak into an area that I cannot speak into. He humbled himself in that area. But in no time in that situation was he weak. See, oftentimes we think that humility, the lack of pride in oneself is an area of weakness, and it's not. The word meek. When people hear the word meek, they often think of weak, and meek is. I love the description of when you used to go to the kingdom and go into the house of the king, and you were a visitor there, and you were one of his honored guests, he would say to his servant, go and get the meekest horse from my stable and allow him to ride it. And that horse was not the weakest horse, okay, but it was the strongest and the most responsive horse to the touch of the rider on its back. In other words, it was not going to fight the rider. But it was a powerful horse, could leap tall buildings in a single bound. It was a great horse. It was not a bad horse. It was his best horse, because no matter who rode it, it responded correctly and was not a danger to his guest. And so meekness in your life is being the most powerful Christian that you can be. That you are humbled under the hand of God, that you can be moved in a direction that God wants you to move, that you will respond in a way that God wants you to respond. Because, not because you're weak, but because you are strong in Him. Because you've allowed yourself to be molded and moved by the hand of God and not by your own thinking. Not by your own, you're not arguing with God. You're not some horse that let's turn left. No, we want to go right here. You're not fighting the rider. You're not fighting against God every step of the way. You are responding to the turns of God in your life, in the direction of God in your life. This doesn't mean that you're weak. This means you're powerful. This means that you have strengths in your lives and you recognize the strength in your life and you recognize the areas of weakness, and all those things are submitted to the things of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11 says, "Likewise, you young people, submit yourself to your elders." Something the young people do not do today. When I was a kid, I was always taught to respect my elders. Even if they were knuckleheads. I mean, I wasn't following them, but I respected them. You know what I'm saying? And today, it just seems like there's none of that. That concept is void to young people. They don't excuse me. They don't listen to the wisdom of those that are older than them. You know, I remember one time I had a young person come up to me one time and said they were acting all they were just acting stupid. And acting rude, mean, and all this stuff. And I went to him and I said, "What is the matter with you? Why are you doing that? Well, you don't understand what I've gone through." I said, "Give it your best shot. Give it your best shot. I don't understand what you're going through. Well, I've gone through this and I've gone through that. Did it? Well, you had a time of rebellion in your own life where you rebelled and then you came back to God. You've talked about that." "Yes, true. But here's the wisdom that I have for you. I wish I'd have skipped the rebellious years." "What? The rebellion didn't help me. The rebellion hurt me. I'm telling you, if I knew what I know now, when I was 18... the choices I made between 18 and 25 before I finally found God would be way different." But then you would be different. "Yes, only for the glory of God would I be different." "Well, then you wouldn't be able to minister to..." Oh, yes, I would. Because it's Christ that did the work, not me. The things that I went through are... not things I want you to be exposed to. But you've gone through certain things just like me. I went through certain things before I turned 18 that stirred some things in my life that pushed me towards a realm of evil that I should not have gone to. But I didn't have someone, or I don't know if I didn't have someone. What I didn't have was I was stupid enough not to listen to those that were older than me, thinking I knew. Because it's interesting, I always say this, you know, we know so much. If we could harness the information from those between the ages of about 16 to the ages of about 25, if we could harness that information, we could solve every problem on earth because they know everything. Just ask them. They know everything. And after we turn like 25, 26, 27, we suddenly realize we don't know nothing. It's like the older we get, the less we know. It's like, whoa, man, really? I'm just starting to figure some things out now. I'm 50 and I'm starting to figure stuff out. It's like, man, I thought I knew everything at 18. It's just interesting to me. We should submit one, and then it goes on to say, "Yes, all of you submit one to another Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I need more grace, so I better be humble. I better know who is my Lord. I better know my weaknesses, I better know my strengths, and I better rely on God in all of them. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Some people, I know this is how we react, because this is how we are in life, because we can go to McDonald's and get a sandwich in less than 30 seconds. We feel like, you know, okay, I've humbled myself, God, now it's due time. And when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in his time, he will raise you up. And believe me, when he raises you up, it will be incredible. It will be incredible what God will do in your life when he raises you up, when he begins to do a work in your life. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That's not the end of that verse, or that's not the end of that statement. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I used to say this all the time, and I still believe it, that if you have any cares, you're not humble. Now, that doesn't mean you don't care about things, because you care about the things of God. You care about your children. You care about things, but when they're yours, you're in trouble. When they're his, then you're not in trouble. When they're his cares, because let me tell you, no one cares about your kids more than God. No one cares about your finances more than God. No one cares about your marriage more than God. No one cares. But when they're your cares, he can't do anything. But when they're his cares, it doesn't mean you don't care. It just means they're his cares and he's caring with you. He will care for you in these areas. Because believe me, the challenges that you have in your life, he cares about. But when you hang on to him alone, and this is where pride comes in, because you think you can fix it. I can make this work. I can do this. This is pride. This is the thing about pride that will destroy your ability to see the one who has the ability to bring influence into the situation. Your own pride will stop God from bringing influence into your situation. And you must humble yourself and say, okay, God, it's not that I don't care about these things, but I'm giving them over to you so that you will care with me about them and that you will speak into my life and will begin to make things, and you will begin to make things happen. You will begin to, in due time. God, now listen, you didn't change overnight, and neither is whoever you're worried about. Okay, God, I got myself fixed. Now fix the rest of it. Yeah, it only took you 15 years to realize you need to calm down and let God work in your life. And now that it's worked for you, it's got to work for everyone else immediately. It's allowing God to minister to each and every one of us. And you know what? I'll just tell you right now. I said this just a few seconds ago, but work hard at developing your own life. And be open to having help in working hard in those areas. Be open to recognizing who has that authority to speak into your life like Christ. Be willing to be humbled, but you have to work hard at the transformation of your own life. Every one of us do. If we're not working hard at the transformation of our own life, it's not going to work. It's pride. We are made in the oh, I didn't finish reading, did I? Let's see. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through this same process. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while by your own means, after you have not humbled yourself, after you've walked in pride, after you've suffered a while, and then you allow God to come in and perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, this is the touch of God. The perfect, the established, the strengthened, the settling, that's all God. After you have suffered a while, sometimes is you. Us not going through that. Us still working out those things. You know, I talked about the secret of the vine a long time ago, probably a year or so ago, we went through the series on, and pruning is not pleasant, but very necessary in order for you to bring more fruit in your life. Pruning is always necessary. Oh, let's see. Did I get all the way through? To him be the glory and dominion forever. Amen. We are made in the image of God. However, we must be willing to recognize our shortcomings and our faults and kneel at the feet of Jesus and ask him to help us in the areas we cannot do ourselves. We have to be willing to go to the feet of Jesus every day and say, God, help me. Help me through this area and that area. These are areas of weakness in my life. Help me to forgive those that are around me. Help me to do these things. Help me to walk in you and be humbled by your hand and move where you ask me to move. Spiritual conflicts always follows the expression of pride. When we will always have conflict in our lives when we have pride. We will have conflicts anyways, but they seem to be magnified and worse and less likely for you to get it right if you have pride in there. Pride is what caused Lucifer to fall. I have a prayer that I've written out that's in your bulletin, and I'm going to read through it right now as we close, about this area of pride. Dear Heavenly Father, you said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. I confess that I have not denied myself, picked up my cross, and followed you. In so doing, I have given ground to the enemy in my life. I have believed that I could be successful and live victorious by my own strength and resources. I now confess that I have sinned against you by placing my will before yours, and by centering my life around self instead of you. I now renounce the self life, and by doing so, I cancel all the ground that has been gained in my members by the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will guide me so that I will do nothing for selfish and empty conceit, but that with humility of mind, I will regard others more important than myself. Enable me through love to serve others in honor, preferring others. I ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. All of us struggle in the area of I can do it. All of us. All of us have things in our lives that we believe that we can do that others cannot. And we must humble ourselves and say, okay, God, help me even in these areas that I can do, that they will be even greater for you, but help me in my areas of weakness and send people to me that will help me in my areas of weakness, because we need one another to help each other in our areas of weakness. I guarantee you that every missionary on the field, if they were independently wealthy, one, they probably would be less successful than they are right now because they need us. Okay? But I guarantee you, if they were independently wealthy, they would spend their money to do exactly what they're doing. But for some reason, God wants you to help. Isn't that nice? Because God wants us all to help in every area. He wants us to just do the best we can to help everyone we can, all the time that we can, in every effort that we can, until the very end, we do all that we can to help. I mean, that's what we're called to help. Your mission in life is to be helpful. Not to suck the life out of people, but to be helpful. To help others. That's the burden of our life. To find areas where we can help. Because there are lots of things in every church and around the world where people just need help. To give up everything to stand in front of a school to hand out a Bible, or to go to a foreign country and just hand out a Bible. There's no great big pulpit waiting for this brother, or the Gideon guy we had last week, or the guy from Love Them Both that we had here last, that we also had here last week. He has a house where he has some, where he has pregnant teenage kids and teenage girls in the house that he gives them an opportunity to have their baby and either put them up for adoption or help them get established in their lives and go forward. No one knows about that. There's no pulpit there. There's no great victory, you know, in the eyes of the world. Oh, what are you doing? It's finding areas to help and to be a part of helping in those things. Maybe your job is you're a king. You're supposed to make lots of money so that all these things can happen. Maybe you're a priest and you're supposed to do something. Maybe you're both. But we all have our part, but we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He will lift us up and He will cause us to do the things that He's called us to do. If you think you can do it on your own, just good luck. Because it has nothing, because it's Him. It's Him and Him only. I'm here for Him. You're here for Him. You're not here for me. You're here for Him. At least I hope so. You're here to do His work. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. We thank You for Your word. I pray that it would challenge us to find areas in our lives where we have just began to think we could do it on our own, that somehow we could manage and muster up the effort to do things on our own. And because sometimes we feel like, oh, God, I'll just handle this one. You go take care of something else. No, God, we don't want to be absent from Your presence ever. I would rather have Your presence than anything else, God, in my life. So, God, work in us. Cause us to hunger after knowing You and to move in Your presence and in Your life. Father, we just give You praise and glory. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked Him into your heart and into your life, and that's an area where you have to start. You have to recognize that you need Jesus, the Father of authority, the Master of authority. You need Him in your life to change and transform you. So if you'll slip your hand up, we'll pray with you real quickly. We don't want to miss an opportunity to do that. Amen, amen. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. Work in our lives. Continue to cause us to grow closer to You. We just give You all the praise, all the glory. Challenge us this week to be humbled under Your presence, O God, that we might be used of You in a powerful way. God, we just give You praise. We give You glory. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.